I delight myself in you, and I will praise you with a new song. My soul will bless you, Lord. When I'm weak, you make me strong. When I'm poor, I know I'm rich, for in the power of your name, all things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible. Your praise is always on my lips. Your word is living in my heart. And I will praise you with a new song. My soul will bless you, Lord. You fill my life with greater joy. Yes, I delight myself in you, and I will praise you with a new song. My soul will bless you, Lord. When I'm weak, you make me strong. When I'm poor, I know I'm rich, for in the power of your name, all things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible.
Amen. You believe that today? All things are possible. Well, what does that really mean? It's like, what does that mean, Lord? Well, he'll lead you in that. He'll find you to do the impossible because of him. Amen. So we'll let the Lord build on that in your life. Hallelujah. As we continue a song, if you want to be involved with the offering today, the offering plates are open for you to use. Some of you already done that. But as the Lord leads, if you'd like to give today in our offering as a tither, as just a blessing to the Lord, we'll do that at this time as well.
Oh, boy. Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are, and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. I will build my life upon your. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you.
You may wonder sometimes when we make mistakes like I made, if we practice, but we do. We communicate and we practice for an hour. But sometimes we make mistakes. And I just wanted you to know, most of the time, it's me. It puts the pastor and Dean in a bad place. So I thought I'd share that with you just so you know.
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of kings. To reveal the kingdom coming, and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for our sake you died. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of kings. And the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of who'd come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born, Spirit lift the flame, for his truthful truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. For his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of kings. Praise the Father, Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, over to the King of Kings. You will be with me. When I'm standing in the fire, I will not be overcome. Through the valley of the shadow, I will not fear. I am not alone, I am not alone. You will go before me, you will never leave me. I am not alone, I am not alone. You will go before me, you will never leave me. In the midst of deep sorrow, I see the light is breaking through. The dark night will not overtake me. I am pressing into you. Lord, you fight my every battle. I will not fear. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. I am not alone. I am not. You will go before me, you will never leave me. You amaze me, redeem me, you call me as your own. You amaze me, redeem me, you call me as your own. You amaze me, redeem me, you call me as your own. You amaze me, redeem me, call me as your own. You're my strength, you're my defender, you're my refuge in the storm. Through these trials, you've always been faithful. You bring healing to my soul. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. I am not alone, I am not alone. You will go before me, you will never leave me. I am not alone, I am not alone. You will go before me, you will never. Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free. Thy great salvation, so rich and free.
Hallelujah. Let's just thank the Lord this morning. Just take some time to just bless his name in your own words. Whether you want to do so out loud or silently within your heart of hearts, let's just begin to express our love and our thanks to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you for saving me, Lord. I didn't deserve this. I didn't deserve your grace, your mercy, your kindness. And yet you gave it so willingly. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name.
Praise God.
Let's just have a moment of quietness in his presence, shall we? I know this might seem uncomfortable for some, but let's just do that. Let's just sit here in his presence for a few minutes. Praise your name. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. You know, Elijah had great victory when he faced those that were the Baal worshipers. There was that challenge about who was the true God. And of course, the ultimate victory was God's, because he brought down that fire to burn up that sacrifice. What's sad to me is that immediately following that, after Elijah's running to get ahead of the storm, he hears that someone is out to get him. That horrible, wicked, evil queen is going to take his life, and he runs and hides. He goes for days, and he's famished, he's starving, he's thirsty, and he's in anguish, and he's like, woe is me, I'm the only one who's left, which wasn't really true. And then the Lord God came to him. But he didn't come in the earthquake. He didn't come with the strong winds that howled. He came in a still, small voice, a gentle quietness that settled on the mountain that day. And I wonder to myself, how many times am I so busy looking for the thunder and the strikes of lightning when I should be listening to that still, small voice? But I'm just too busy running at the mouth, running ahead of God, thinking of my own plans, and not taking the time to simply be quiet and listen. Lord, give us a desire to be in your presence, that while we pray, we spend as much time silently listening as we do speaking. That we simply want to know what you want, to know your desire, to hear you. I believe your lesson for us at this moment is to be still and to listen, because you are speaking. Thank you for that word, Lord. Thank you for that word. We bless your name. Yes. We love you so much. Thank you for saving our souls. We all agree in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for worshiping the Lord with us today. It's a very special day today. And I'll explain. A while back, I had the privilege to meet a couple who happens to be here today, who are called to reach out with their mission, to work with churches and to establish new ministries. And through that process of getting to know them just a little bit, we scheduled a tentative date to have them come and share. Well, that tentative date came rapidly. And because of misunderstanding on my part or both or all of us together, we ended up not getting that final date to seal on the calendar, and we had to reschedule. And so it's interesting to me that this week, while I was thinking about the beginning of our Bible study, and my goal is to actually do a Bible study based on what I preach. And so I laid out this message that didn't come easily, but I nailed it down. I got her put together, put it in your bulletin. I thought, okay, we're ready to roll. And then Tina's like, the missionaries are here. And I'm like, missionaries are here. Oh, yeah, that's right. Missionaries are coming. And so without going into complete denial of my own mistakes, I will admittedly say that I got so focused ahead that I forgot again. Even though it was on the calendar, I will say that, so hallelujah. But we do have friends with us today, and I'm not going to share with you at this time what their names are and what their vision is, because while it is an open place of which they minister, some of what they do is sensitive. And we want to be sure that there's no hindrance in what they're trying to accomplish for the glory of God. And so, with that understanding, I'm going to share with you this. We're not going to continue live streaming during the message today. For those of you who are online right now, you're going to go, aw, and I understand that. But we're not going to live stream that portion of our service because we want to keep that somewhat within house. I will say this, however, we do record the audio of every service we do as well. So we not only live stream, but we record audio. So if you want to come back, if you're online or if you're watching this at a later date, you want to come back and listen to the message that will be shared, it will be on our website, and you just have to click on sermons, and it will be in audio rather than the live stream through YouTube. So how's that sound? Everybody good with that? And we want to make sure that you are aware of that so that we can then move on with our service. Before we quit the live stream, I know I gave instructions that when we hand it over, we'll stop live streaming. For those of you who are waiting for that click and suddenly we're gone, we do have just a few announcements that we want to make. And I think we got a short commercial before we have our BGMC focus today. So let me just say a real quick thing, real announcement. I want to encourage you, if you are wanting to find God's way of handling your finances, there is an opportunity for you that starts tomorrow night, and Shane Bishop will be leading that class for Financial Peace University. It's an online class. You don't even have to be here in person to do this. You can be anywhere in the world, I would imagine, and actually log in. Is that true? Yeah, I got the affirmative. You can be in China. We'll just say China because that sounds fun. To log in and learn how to manage money. Isn't that cool? So anyway, if you're wanting to be a part of that, please do. If you would like to be part of the Bible study on Tuesday nights and you do not feel comfortable coming in person, we will have in-person study, but you would like to participate through Zoom, I'm making that available also. I've probably had about 5 different people now that have said, I want to be on Zoom. So let me know by sending me an email or text me your email, and then we'll have an updated email, and I'll invite you to click on that link that's in the email I'll send, and you can then join us on Zoom. And so Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock, we'll have Zoom capability along with in-person Bible study. We're trying to be considerate not only of the COVID-19 issues we're facing, which is a good thing, but we're also trying to make it available for some of you who'd prefer not to travel at night. And you just maybe have night vision issues. You don't want to get out at night, especially when winter comes, which, by the way, is just around the corner. Hallelujah. Oh, sorry. Sorry, but I saw cat claws come out. I did. I was an eyewitness of that. I'm not going to say who did that, Elise. I mean, I'm sorry. So, no, just kidding. So anyway, that's going to happen, and pretty soon you're not going to want to travel on the snow and ice and all that good stuff, which I enjoy, but you won't. So anyway, that's what's going on, so you can be a part of that for that reason also. We have Christmas play that's happening. That's really exciting. It's an outstanding theatrical event that we're going to invite the community. We have our team all put together, I believe, and they're going to start practicing, so your information is there for that. Also, Fellowship Friday, October 16th, and we're just thankful that we can have all these activities going on. So, Real Gals team meeting, or what else am I missing? That's good. Our guest speakers, but let's, before we have our guests come up, before we stop the live stream, we have a short commercial that will be a video, am I right? So watch this video, and then we can kill the, well, no, don't kill it, but stop the stream. So that sounds really brutal.
Right there.
I tell people to just call me.
Wait, look,
you're
like this.
Oh.
Oh my god, what is that?
It's shaving cream.
What is that?
You shove your face in it and rub it.
Just put your face in it.
You don't have to eat it anymore. That's too funny.
What is that, shaving cream?
Why that needs an explanation, but Pastor says it needs an explanation. So what we did for youth group last week was we had clues and we had to go around town, and when they found the clue, person got a point, and then they had to go to a location, then they had to do something different. We did the anybody familiar with Monty Python and the Flying Circus? We did the Society of Silly Walks, and the last one was they had to go into a location and ask people if they knew about Jesus and if they had accepted him as their Savior. And much to my surprise, almost every youth got involved in that question, which was awesome. So we had two people tied to win a gift card, and the boss, Jennifer, made a surprise, and she put oysters in the bottom of the pie. So that's what you saw. Cadence's response was she bit into an oyster. And they both did great, so both Janasia and Cadence both won a prize. But the point of it was they've had a couple of hard messages to deal with about life and about serving the Lord. And so we had a fun night, and the meaning behind it was you can still have fun and serve the Lord at the same time and do something good. So that was the point of the whole service, and so that was the end result was our champion, Janasia. Cadence isn't here, but they bit into oysters with whipped cream filling. Somebody thought it was shaving cream, which would have been really gross, but anyway.
Okay, we'll go ahead and cut the stream, and we will dismiss our children to BGMC. And thank you, Gentries, for doing that wonderful ministry as well. God bless you as you learn about missions. And we're all good? We're all cut? And so we're going to ask for Lloyd Marsh and his wife to come. and share what the Lord has laid upon their hearts. And they have some family here with them as well, so that's cool. Bless you as you share.
Thank you, Pastor, and it's an honor to be here. We're blessed to be here. What I've realized is the more I travel, the more I realize that I'm part of a huge family. And being able to come together and to meet more of my family is just more exciting. So it's so neat to be with you. It's such an exciting day for us to be with you and to know you and to know that we work together to extend God's kingdom. We really do. And thank you, Pastor, for giving us the opportunity to be here. We have my son and his wife are with us, traveling this time, and our granddaughter's with us. Of course, you can't miss her at this age. And but that it's an honor to be with you and to serve the Lord. We've been missionaries now for 26 years, and we served our first 8 years in Bolivia. And then the Lord moved us to the nation of Venezuela, where we were for 10 years until the political scenario would no longer allow us to be there. And then the Lord moved us again. And for the last 4 years, we've been in the nation of Chile. And so we'll share a little bit about a little bit of all of that before it's over. But you know, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth workers. And so we'll talk a little bit about that this morning also. But I'd like to have my wife come, and she's my very bestest half. Have her come and share a little bit with you. Which way are you going to go? Okay. And
good morning. It's a joy to be here. It's always good. I've been missing being in church, with this COVID. So it's good to come to church, gather together, and worship Jesus. That's what it is about, getting together and worshiping Jesus, adoring him. I'm just going to read a passage here. I was just recently I was reading Jonah, and this really stood out. And I want to share with you. It's Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, and then go on to the next chapter. It says, this is after the people, Nineveh, repented. And so it says, when God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. And it goes on, but it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life. Jonah had a bad attitude, a bad heart. He knew God was compassionate. And he says, I know you're compassionate and loving. And that's why I didn't want to go to Nineveh and tell these people that I don't like, tell them about you. I didn't want to see them repent. I want to see them dead. That was his attitude. But God, when he saw that their deeds had changed, they turned from their wicked way, then God relented, bringing destruction upon them. People need to hear about Jesus. People need to accept Jesus Christ so their wicked ways will change. If they don't hear the message of Jesus Christ, people will continue being wicked and doing bad things, and people will continue disliking people. But God loves everyone. May God help us never to have the attitude of Jonah. God loves everyone. And that's about, and it's about missions. We could have had that attitude when God sent us to Venezuela. You probably know the political situation in Venezuela. We could have said, we don't want to go there, Lord. They hate Americans. They hate us. They think we're the cause for all their problems in Venezuela. But that's where God sent us. And we didn't know what he was going to do. We had no idea what he was going to do. But the Lord took us to this little, not little, but a small city of Valera to take a church that was being built. It was under construction. A missionary before us had started the construction. So it was in the middle of construction. There was a congregation. They were meeting. We met in the parking lot. And so now we're here. I said, Lord, what are you going to do in a dangerous place? Very dangerous. They don't like Americans. There are these gringos. What are they doing in our midst? The crime is high. Kidnapping is high. We have our children. We went in 2004 when Christopher was 5 and Abby was 3. But God, just as soon as we got there, the Lord started working, bringing young people. There was a young man with a heart to reach the youth of that area. You know, these are youth that are involved in crime. But he had a heart. And God took us then to Venezuela to put us together with this young man, young boy. He was 17. And that's when God started working, bringing the young people from the barrio. And they were getting saved, giving their lives to Jesus. Now we have these young people. What do we do with them? We have to disciple them. We can't leave them there. We got to disciple them. So the Lord lead us to start a discipleship ministry in the church, in this unfinished construction. You know, the roof is not finished. We have leaks everywhere. Half of it has has a roof. It's not pretty. But the presence of God is there. The presence of God is there powerfully. And so we start this discipleship program. Kids join the discipleship program where they have to live there. And we start discipling them, training them in God's word, memorizing God's word, just discipling them. And then the Lord gives us a farm to support this ministry. Now, I can't go all with all the details, but how do we do this? And God gives us a farm to fund the program. So we become farmers. We're not the pastors, the missionaries, because we will not tell anybody. You know, we will never say we're missionaries or pastors. And this was a good covering that we are farmers. And we were farmers. We're working the farm. Christopher gathered 2,000 eggs, almost 2,000 eggs, every single day. This little boy gathering it. We all get together and clean the eggs. But also, this was a place where the young kids will come and work. That they will make a little money so they could pay for their food and lodging at the church for the discipleship program. But also the Lord was working their hearts, training them to be workers, to be responsible, to be honest. Just in every way, forming their hearts. One of the things, I was not planning to say this, but being here and going, we went to got to go to the Creation Museum, and that was fascinating. Well, that was one of the things that we invested in the kids, teaching them about creation. All the kids went through, and from that, we also had a kids ministry. We brought the farm to the church. We had a mini farm at the church once a year for one whole week. And the schools, the public schools, will come and, you know, pet the animals, see the animals. We'll tell them about the animals. And we will end telling them the story of creation. That God created everything. That God created them with a plan, that they were special. And the community looked forward for that time every year of the farm. We call it Connection. I forgot the name. Connection Kids. Connection Kids. And so we were putting that in the hearts of the little kids. But that's what God used the farm then to touch the community. But in all that, the Lord raised up young people. You know, we saw them grow from young people to adults. And today, many of them are not in Venezuela anymore. They are across South America. We have a couple in Poland. And all serving Jesus, telling their story, what Jesus did in their lives, how he rescued them from what they were, what they've been, what they've been involved in, telling their story and giving glory to Jesus. And that's what we are just so grateful. We still get together with them through Zoom. Thank the Lord for Zoom. We get together with the kids. We communicate. They tell us what's going on. One of the young couples is in Brazil. Well, two couples are in Brazil and in Manaus, and they're reaching to the unreached people's groups in the Amazon. They're joining with another Brazilian couple, and they're going to minister to the tribes in the Amazon. I said, wow, Lord, yes. You know, but all this because of what God started in Venezuela with these kids. They were wild, crazy, involved in so many things, many sad situations, but God rescued them, changed the destiny of their lives, and today they're serving Jesus and telling the story of Jesus to other people in other countries that they never imagined. These kids never imagined they would leave Venezuela. Never. You know, they thought, I'm staying in Venezuela forever. But God took him and put him in different countries of South America, then Brazil and Argentina and Colombia and Peru and Chile. We have a couple in Chile that's helping us minister. They came down with and a sister and a brother. They're all with us down in Chile, helping minister. And so we just want to say thank you. Because you might not see much. You say, what am I doing? Well, as you give, as you pray, God is moving and his message is being proclaimed around the world. And it's reproducing. Like I said, you know, we started Venezuela and they went to the different nations and they're telling their stories. They're reaching people in these other nations. So thank you. Thank you for giving to missions. Thank you for praying for missionaries, praying for the nations. Thank you so much. And God bless you.
The harvest really is plentiful, but the workers are always so few. I've always heard that passage. Even as a missionary's child, I heard that one itineration in its totality because my dad preached that sermon, and it was focused mainly that we need to have more missionaries and we need to have more pastors and evangelists, which is a true statement. But this morning, I want to focus that passage a little differently. I believe that God is calling each and every one of us to be that worker in the harvest field. And so when I say that, when I quote the verse, I'm saying, pray that the Lord would send forth workers. I'm praying that the Lord would call each and every one of us to be the worker here, wherever he has placed us, that he can use to harvest in the harvest field. I've had the privilege of working the harvest this fall, both with one brother in the church in Plentywood and also with Brother Dale. And the one thing that really stands out to me is we're going down the field and they're running those combines, all that grain's coming in. And I'm thinking, what would happen if we didn't for some reason have any equipment and we had to harvest all those fields? How many people would it take to make that happen? Is it even possible? Or would we lose the harvest? And I know Brother Dale, he'd be saying, we'd be losing that harvest. It's just too much. We'd lose the harvest. But our Father is saying that same thing about you and I. Because we're the harvest field. We're the harvester in that field. But the workers are few, and so much of the harvest is being lost, and every day people are dying and going to hell because of the shortage of workers. And that's not preachers. That's each and every one of us doing our part to love people right where we are, loving them because people are so valuable. And as my wife was saying, Jonah had a really bad attitude. And the temptation for us is if people don't think like we do, we don't want to be around them either. But that's exactly the people we need to be around. And the Lord sends us to Chile. We're moved out of Venezuela. We're going into Chile. We know no one in Chile. We land in the city of Iquique. That's in the northern part of the desert. It's the high desert. And we're saying, okay, how do we start a new church? Because that's our assignment. Start a new church. Okay, how do you start a new church when you don't know a soul? Well, we moved into our little apartment on the 17th floor, a 32-story building, 800 square feet, 3 bedrooms, 2 baths. Living room, dining room, kitchen, the whole 9 yards. So it was a big house. And that was a big change for us because we're moving in from Venezuela, living on the farm, to living up there. Anyway, that's a whole other story, but that's the way God is. So we move into the nation of Chile and in the city of Iquique. And we're saying, Lord, how do we even reach anybody? Well, Christopher and our daughter were younger, and they loved to play soccer, so it didn't take long. Chileans loved to play soccer, and before long, they had a whole bunch of friends there playing soccer with. And before long, you know how it is. Kids invite kids to birthday parties and different fun activities, and so they'd invite our kids, and we'd go with them. And so we'd go to these different activities, and we'd meet families. And we'd meet them and literally invite them that day to come over. You know, we'd invite them then to come over to a future date to come to our house, our apartment, and have dinner with us. Well, I mean, we didn't know those people any more than, and it's not a common thing to invite people over. That's not something Chileans do either. It's kind of like the way we are. We don't do much of that anymore. But that's what the Lord put on our heart. So we started doing that, and we started inviting these people over. So what we would do is we'd invite them over, and you know, we're sitting around a little table because in an 800 square foot apartment, you don't have, nothing's big. Everything's really tiny. So we'd just pack everybody around. There'd be 10 of us, 9 of us, 10 of us all sitting around these little tables, you know, and makeshift and just having a good time. But the challenge for us is that, you know, there's 2 preachers sitting at the table, my wife and I, and it's hard to not try to preach around the table. So our rule was we didn't talk about the things of God around the table. What we're going to do is we're just going to invest in them, those people, love them, understand them, help them, invest in them any way we could, just build friendship, value them. And as we began to do that, it was a lot of fun just learning and growing. But before we would finish off our meal, and everybody leave, what we would do is say, we have a tradition in our home. Before we leave, we all read a chapter in the Bible. So we'd pull out Bibles, hand out to everybody, and we'd help them find the chapter we were in for the day. And then we'd help them read, because you know, most of the time they've never opened a Bible, so they don't know how to find anything. So we help them get there, and then we read around the table. Everybody reads a couple verses until we get the chapter done, and we try not to say anything. You know, we're not preaching here. And so when we get done reading, we'll say, do you have any questions, any thoughts? And as we go around the table, different people would have different comments, and usually our visitors, for the first time, they would just graciously pass. But what we learned was those people love to come to our house to read that powerful book, that book that touched and challenged their heart. But we found that, you know, God can speak louder and more specifically to their hearts than we can. And if I say something, they can forget it or be mad at me. But when God speaks, he's there with them wherever they are. And so God just begins to work and develop their lives. And so we're spending time with people, more families. That became our ministry, just inviting people over and just building relationship with them. And well, one family we met and we invited over, and we started that relationship with that family. Every single time we were together, he would always go through his rant. His rant was, if there's a God, I'm mad at him. And the reason why is because he would say, my mom was a faithful church person. She always went to church. She never missed a service. She was a giver. She always invested in the church. She always had the pastor over. She had ministry activities in her home. She was always involved in the things of her church. And one day she got sick, called the pastor. He prayed, nothing happened. She got sicker, we called the pastor. He prayed and nothing happened, and we found that she had cancer. We prayed and nothing happened, and she died. So if there's a God, I'm mad at him. What do you say? You change the subject and go on. And we did that for a year and a half. At least once a month they'd come over, and we'd live with that every single month. Well, about a year and a half into all this, they come over, and he's all excited this day. He found that he had finished off his paperwork. He's running to be a congressman in our state, and he's all excited, and we're going, oh, no. Because politics in Latin America is really weird. But anyway, so we're saying, well, we'll back you as a friend. So we started helping him out and just backing him and to have a good time. Well, before long, he wanted us to be a part of his advisory council. Because he says, you guys think differently than we do. So if you'll come and be part of our council, you'll help bring a different insight. Sure, we'd be glad to do that. Well, all of a sudden, that opened it up to a whole bunch of families we never met before, and we would have never been able to meet outside of that scenario. And so we started inviting more people over and getting to know more friends. And then in that whole process, his car breaks down. So we have a good speed the light vehicle that's provided by you all as the churches. I said, hey, if you'll pay the gas, I'll drive you to these to your activities, right? Well, it makes him look good because it's a nice vehicle, and he's being driven, so it makes him look good, you know. And so he took up my offer, and I'm thinking this gives me hours with him on the road, because in Chile, when you leave town, there's no cell phones, there's no radio, there's nothing. It's just desert sand for miles and miles and miles. So it gives me lots of time to be with him and ride along and keep investing in him. Well, every single trip, sometime coming or going, I'd have to listen to that rant. Well, one day the Holy Spirit said, next time. I said, all right. Well, next trip, next time. He went through his rant. If there's a God, I'm mad at him. I'm driving. And instead of changing subject, as I always did, this time I said, you know, you need to forgive God for taking your mom. But you've got to remember that your mom lived her whole life wanting to live with him. And you've got to remember that God is taking way better care of her than we could ever take care of her here. You've just got to forgive God. All of a sudden, he's blowing boogers. I mean, he's just sobbing. He's beside himself. And he's just crying. Well, tears start welling up my eyes. I have to pull over. I pull over in the sand on the side of the road. And he says, God, forgive me for thinking this. When he begins to thank God for all the wonderful things God had done in his life and his family's life. And he goes on and on this list. And I'm just crying as he just pours out his heart to the Lord. And we just sit there and he's just crying and talking to God, and in just a few moments, that man's whole countenance changed. Everything about that man changed. Just a beautiful presence of God that began to work in his life. Just so neat. Well, it's not about how we invest or how we preach. It's how we love and how we invest. The harvest is plentiful. You know, so many times we have these smartphones, and then we get all these, I call them robocalls. I hate those things. And they call me all day long, and, you know, I have to answer my phone. And then I'm stuck with whatever. They're trying to get me on my student loan that I haven't had for 500 years. And, how you feel. You don't like that, or you get a salesperson who come up, knock on the door, and you're just kind of like, ugh, right? Could it be that the vast majority of people around us feel exactly that way when we're trying to sell God or sell our church, and they kind of push back? It's not that they're against God and they don't need God and want him. The harvest really is plentiful. But our method may not be what's right. And so we're feeling that pushback, just like you and I feel that pushback when we get that robocall. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Loving and investing in people. And what we've found is we wind up having to connect with people that don't think at all like us. I'm chilly. Every man I run into, they're one of three things. They'll tell me they're one of three things. They'll either say they're communists. That just means they don't like Americans. And I sort of look like one. Or they're atheist, which means they don't like preachers, and I try not to look like that. Or third, they're agnostic. You know, they just, whatever. So what I found is I just somehow I can always build a relationship with them no matter where they are. No matter what they stand for, I can build a relationship with them and little by little allow them to know Jesus somehow. And that's what God's calling us to do. In that whole process in Chile, we're meeting all these families. One family we met was a family from the nation of India. And they're trying to talk English to me, and I'm trying to talk Spanish to them, and we're both frustrated. And finally he says, "Don't you speak English?" And I said, "Yes." He says, "Well, we do too. In India, that's our language." I'm like, "I didn't know that. I don't know anything about that side of the world. I mean, I've been all my life in South America. So, you know, that's the opposite end of the world." And so we finally get that straightened out. And I find that they're just new believers in the Lord. And they want to have a Bible study. But they want to have a Bible study in English, not in Spanish. They need it in English so they can. It's closer to heart language and they can understand better. So I says, "I think we can handle that." So we start having a Bible study at their house. You know, we'd start at 9 p.m. and end about 1:30 or 2. And before it was over, we had Indian food in the middle of the night. I mean, good food, but it's rough on the night line. So we'd have our Bible studies, and they would invite people. We came to find out there's 1,300 Indian families in our city. I mean, that's as big as a lot of our towns, you know. And that's just one people's group. And we began to have this Bible study, and they're inviting all these Indian people over, you know, from India that speak English. That's their language. And so we're having Bible study, and it's growing slowly. And one evening, a young man showed up in our Bible study. Somebody had invited him. And he came in, sat down, and all of a sudden, he was just with us. You know, he was talking, asking questions and making statements and things, which is really unusual for a Hindu to do that. You know, just that's out of their context. And so he's connecting with us, and it made that Bible study that evening so exciting, so fun. And, we came to an end before we were going to move to the tables to eat our Indian food for the night. And as we did, he says, "Before we dismiss, could somebody help me ask God to be my God?" I said, "We can do that." So we prayed with him, and man, God changed that young man's life in an instant. It was such a beautiful thing, just filled him with joy and with peace. Just wow. I mean, it just totally changed that guy. And he began to grow in the things of the Lord. And as tradition, when I'm able to connect with a man and lead him to Christ, I want to meet with him privately for every single week for months and months and months. So this young man, what worked best for him was Saturday morning. So we'd get together for Saturday morning breakfast, and we'd spend some time together around the Word. And every Saturday we got together. Well, finally, after several months of getting together with him, I finally got the nerve up to ask him how in the world he came into that meeting and wanted to get saved like that. He says, "Well, earlier that year, my dad had passed away, he says, "And it's my responsibility to choose the gods that we will serve from this point forward, because I'm the oldest son. So I have to choose those gods. And as I'm researching and reading and studying, I'm so frustrated because all of our gods cannot be appeased. I can't find a way to appease them. They're always angry. They're always requiring something of us. They're not, you can't appease them. And in studying and researching all that, I mean, there's thousands of gods. And so researching and studying and reading, and one of his employees brought him a Bible. And he read that Bible through from cover to cover 3 times. When he got done, he said, "This is the God we will serve because I don't have to appease him. He sent his son Jesus to die for me, and he will make the difference in my life, and he'll help me become the man he wants me and our family to be." I'm like, wow, that'll preach. and so, just investing and loving and building relationship with people, the harvest really is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And the Lord is calling us, each one of us, to reach outside of what's normal for us and to build relationship with people who do not think like us and help them and love them and invest in them so that they will know the love of Jesus through us. So many times we found that just out of the way we build relationship, you know, my relationship with my wife or my relationship with my kids, and they watched. And as they would watch, God would speak to them just through our life, just being together. And there's times we'd all go get together and go to the beach or whatever, because we live right on the Pacific Ocean. And so, you know, just go to the beach or go to activities, different things we do just as families, and do cookouts and get together. And they sensed and know God's love just because of who we are as a family. And God wants to do the same thing through each and every one of us. The harvest is plentiful. And many, many are being lost. So one thing I've learned is that as I travel, is we as a team work together. You send us to be missionaries in Chile right now, but you're the workers here. As you send us and you pray for us, we're joined. So the harvest that is done there, you reap the same reward as we do. And then as you stretch out and reach out and extend the kingdom to the people around you, then we get to reap the reward with you. And together, we're extending God's kingdom. It's a huge teamwork of reaching people for Jesus. God's called us to work together. God's called us to be here and be there, together, extending his kingdom. So let's be those harvest workers. Let's do what God's called us to do. The Lord may not use your family like he did ours to invite someone over and build. It's a commitment. What we would do is we'd invite one family over, and every month we would invite that family over and over and over and over, whether they responded or not, whether they reciprocated or not, I should say. It didn't matter. We'd invite them over just to build that relationship. Keep building, keep investing, keep loving, and finding ways to invest in their world and watch God be God through us. That's what God's called us to do. Let's be those harvest workers. Let's be the ones extending, because the harvest is so plentiful. I woke up last night, just praying, "Lord, help me connect with more people who are hungry. Help me connect with more people that are hungry. How can I invest in people? How can I?" I mean, I know that's my job, right? I'm a missionary. But I'm just a people. And I see the harvest that's being lost. The kingdom of God is saying the harvest plentiful, but my workers Maybe they're not showing up for duty. My prayer for you, us together, is that we become that harvest worker right where God has placed us, reaching the people around us. The harvest is plentiful. So let's do that together. Thank you for praying for us. We'd love to give you a prayer card on the way out so when you see that, you can be reminded to pray for us. But as we come together, we're praying together, we're working together, we're receiving those rewards together, we're extending God's kingdom together, let's not allow the harvest or as much as the harvest, let's rescue as much of the harvest as we possibly can. Let's do that together. Let's extend God's kingdom. Thank you for giving. Thank you for praying. Thank you for extending God's kingdom because that is what it's all about. Thank you. Pastor.
Praise the Lord. Before we close the service with prayer and give you an opportunity to give, I do want to explain with the giving, if you are going to write a check, do that to Glendive Assembly of God, and we'll put together one check for the offering in just a few minutes. I do want to just reiterate something that's really speaking to my heart, and I believe it's already spoken to your heart. The stories that we often hear from missionaries inspire us. They pique our interest. They help us to see almost like firsthand what they're going through. But something stood out in the stories that were shared today. Any one of the stories that you heard could have happened right here in Glendive. Right here in Weibo. It's good to have our friends from Weibo here visiting today. It could have happened anywhere that we live here in this country because the mission is the same. And I agree. If I walk up to somebody and just blurt out my faith and with an abrasiveness, would you like to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, because if you don't, you're going to hell. How effective is that going to be? Very ineffective. It's going to be just like that phone call that he described that we all don't want to get, those automated robot calls, and we're like, oh, I've already got my car taken care of. I don't need another warranty. I saw a meme the other day that the meme says they found you, they're going to get you this warranty, and it's like, ah, I'm running from this thing, but do you realize that's how they feel about you sometimes? If you're too abrasive and abrupt. But here's what they can't deny. If you truly love them for who they are, in your differences, they'll listen to your heart. There's not a family here that can't invite your neighbor over for a meal. Now, maybe we can't eat at 1 in the morning. I'm thinking you start at 9? I can't get people to come at 6:30, you know, and 9 o'clock and you have a Bible study. Wow, and you go until midnight, 1 o'clock. I'm like, wow, that's insane. But maybe that's just the culture there. I don't know. That's not our culture, so don't do 9 o'clock. But find a way to just invest in lives and just get to know people. And not people like me. You already know me. You don't need more of me. We already know each other, which is wonderful. We love Fellowship Friday. We love these gatherings. Coffee, you know, ladies, you do your coffee thing. You took that trip. I mean, those are great. Those are great. But get to know someone that's not like you and love them. And one day, they're going to invite Jesus Christ to be their Savior. If we all had a goal to reach one person this year, one person this year. I mean, we're talking an entire year, and we were all successful in reaching that person. Brand new baby Christian, never went to church before even. This church would be not 70s to 90s in its attendance. We would be double in 1 year if we all were faithful. It's not about building churches. It's about building the kingdom of God. And I'm being very generous to say only double, because if one person happens to be a man or a woman who has a family, you might quadruple that with that one person. And now it's not just one person, now it's 10. And it multiplies. And churches are built and people find Jesus Christ through the interpersonal relationships of God's people. So I wanted to leave that with you and just build, if that's okay, build on that message to reiterate everything you what you heard and what was shared could have happened right here in this town, in your town, in your neighborhood, with your friends and your neighbors. That's the bottom line facts. I'm so thankful that God calls families to go to other countries to do what we're supposed to be doing here. Amen, amen. Let's stand together and let's close in prayer. Hallelujah. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for the mission. Thank you for the vision. Thank you for the practical instruction of sharing our faith, building those relationships to reach the lost and to love them exactly where they are. For each and every one that's able to give in this offering, we bless you, Lord, for that. We pray a blessing that it will go further into your service for the call that has been given, and that there will be a blessing for each giver. But Lord, help us to be faithfully involved in our own mission, right here on our own mission field. May we be faithful, Lord. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.